How many of you believe we are living in the end times?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to a very special edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, some of you are going to hear this program in two parts, and some others, especially overseas, may hear this as one entire program. There's a lot to be shared in these two segments, whether you hear it over 2 days or whether you hear it on the special weekend edition aired on The Voice of Hope in Africa. This is one of these kind of topics that are not easy to often do. There are a lot of opinions about theology, a lot of opinions about end times. Some people believe that much of the book of Revelation is fulfilled. Many believe that a lot of it is yet to come. And others, like myself, believe there's a combination of the two. Now, I don't get all wrapped up in a lot of pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib theology. And there's a reason. I remember the words of Vance Havner, one of the great Baptist preacher from not many years ago. And he was in his mid to late 80s when somebody posed the question, do you believe in the pre-trib or the mid-trib or the post-trib? And he took a moment, and with a gleam in his eyes, he looked at this individual. And remember, Vance Havner was an outstanding Baptist theologian. He goes, I'm a pan-millennialist. And the person asking the question, you know, was kind of taken aback. What do you mean you're a pan-millennialist? He said, according to my Bible, the same one you have, it will all pan out in the end. One of the greatest mistakes that are made in our faith, in Christianity today, is getting so wrapped up in the minutiae and the mechanics of the end time. Well, I believe it's going to be this way with a rapture, and it's going to come in this exact order, and until I see certain signs and wonders, I'm not going to worry about it. And then you have the others that are looking for New Agers and every sign and symbol under every rock. And they lose, and in both extremes, you lose the balance of what God would have us to do in understanding end time theologies. Number one, and I mentioned this earlier this week on the weekday radio program. Some of you may not have heard it, but I'll remind you again today. This is absolutely essential that you understand this and get this through your mind. Regardless of what your end time eschatology is, there are a few things that, well, are scriptural mandates that a lot of people that hang around Bible prophecy, they fail to understand. And it can cause them great issues and great problems. Number one, date setters, those that are trying to figure the date out, those that are spending their time and money and effort, and they do all their reading and research and buy every DVD and book and download that they can get their hands on so they can figure out the day that Jesus is coming again. I'm going to say this bluntly. Everybody that sets a date is a fool. They're an absolute fool. The Bible says you're a fool. You're not going to set the date. Stop thinking you can. It was back in 2015. I was working for a ministry that tried to deal a lot in end time eschatology, end time news and what have you. And it became apparent to me during the time that I worked for this ministry editing their program that they were all over the road and they were allowing date setters on the program. And they were leaning in that direction, looking for the signs and trying to tie it all together on a timeline and a calendar. There was this one woman prophetess. I'm not going to say her name. I don't even want you to look her up. She, at that time, was married to some Jewish guy. She happens to be a black woman I know originally from Chicago. And she declared herself, like her mother, to be a prophetess, called and separated out by God. And she gets these visions in her bedroom of Jesus coming to the foot of her bed and lighting up her bedroom and telling her things the world needs to know. And honestly, she made a very good cottage industry of that for quite a long time and still does. She's still selling her talents. You can follow her and go right to her paywall to get God's latest revelation that you need to hear. The problem with her, and so many like her, is that they're fakes, they're phonies, they're frauds, or they're deceived in believing the lie that they've been given some great revelation from God. Because see, when you give a revelation from God and it doesn't turn out to be true, then you are not a prophetess, you do not have the gift, you are not to tell us anything. And if you've been listening to people like that and they are starting to make predictions that don't come true, turn them off. Stop listening. Stop supporting. And I knew this woman was a fraud when she made a claim. And the claim was, and this recording, we were doing the interview, I think, maybe in April, end of April, maybe it could have been as late as the 1st of May, but it was in the spring. And she said that Jesus told her in this vision in her bedroom at 2:30 in the morning, when there was just this, you know, Shekinah glory of light around her in her bed. And Jesus told her that she should warn the world that you only have till the end of August to prepare. For after the end of August, it'll be everlastingly too late. So get your preparations done, your food in, you know, for the great tribulation. I guess your solar generators and everything else that goes with it. But you must be prepared by no later than the end of August, because after that, it's too late. Remember, that's 2015. This is 9 years ago. 9 years ago, coming into the month of August, you must be ready, because by the end of August, it's too late. 9 years have come and gone. And so what is this woman doing? More of the same. Still getting these revelations from God. And people listen and buy and support this kind of fraudulent ministry. How many books were written over the years? How many have tried to set the date? I can go back to early 1970s buying a book by the guy by the name of the late great Planet Earth, written by Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey is still one of those respected men of God that still has the prophetic gift. And yet in his book, he was saying that based upon what he sees, Israel became a nation in 1948, and a generation is 40 years. That'll take us to 1988, so Jesus must be returning again to Jerusalem in 1988. That's what he said. It's in the book. Well, it's been a while since 1988. In fact, it's been about 36 years. Do you realize that since 1948, it's over 75 years. I guess a generation is not 40 years as he estimated. Then there was another guy. I remember this guy, his name was Dr. Wissenit or something. He was supposedly a retired NASA engineer that really understood the Bible and mathematics, and he had decided also that 1988 had to be the year based upon everything he could find in the Bible. And this book came out in 1986 or early 87. I can remember my late wife's brother was a member of a big church, big Baptist church in Florida. And he and his wife were trying to get into things all kind of prophecy stuff, and you know, he's one of those pre-trib rapture type. And he found this book, and boy, he called us on the phone. This is back in the days of long distance, I might add, too. And he called us on the phone saying, you got to get this book because it's next year. Jesus could be coming next year in 1988. This guy's got it all figured out. Get the book. And I decided not to get the book. My wife asked me, why wouldn't we want to get it? I said, because it's a date setter. It's not going to be true. It's not going to happen. 1989 came, and the guy released another book, kind of his mea culpa. Oh, I got it wrong. It's really the 89 reasons that Jesus will return in 1989. I made a little mistake about the 88 reasons that Jesus will return in 1988. Do you see the problem? Others have come and gone. There are people, I know they mean well. Many of them really do. But they try to read too much into everything that they see. And then they try to cash in on it with a book or a DVD or something else. Remember when we got, think about this. We got through the 80s, into the 90s, and then around 1997, we started hearing about Y2K. How the computer crash is going to revolutionize and destroy the world. Planes are going to fall out of the sky. Your bank account's going to go to zero. Everything's going to quit. The power's going to shut off. How many of you remember that? I'm enough of an engineer and a computer nerd even back then. And I was working for a Bible college, and I was asked the question, at least in our division, to make sure that all of our equipment was Y2K certified. So what did I do? I went and got a whole little roll of Y2K stickers. And I went around to every computer and stuck it on there. What I had done one day is I took the oldest computer in the building that I had, a DOS machine. And I, on a Friday morning, I set the date to December 31st, 1999. When I came in Monday morning, everything was fine. Saying January the 3rd. And I realized I can understand certain machines that might have a problem. But it was not the big problem everybody was predicting. There were people, and I'm thinking of one right now, that started their radio ministry and their radio career based upon Y2K. Some did it in the secular world. People like Chuck Harder had a program called For the People. He's since passed away a number of years ago. And for the longest time, broadcasting from the Telford Hotel in, White Springs, Florida, on the, the Suwannee River. Talking about Y2K and why you need a Y2K, this, that, and the other. You know, we've got generators. We got prepackaged food. We've got you protected. We've got silver and gold. We've got it all. We're getting you Y2K ready. I can remember books like Judgment 2000, How Everything's Going to Crash, Judgment 2000. You can still find that idiotic book and the idiot that wrote it. It's still on Amazon. Once again, another Y2K casher-inner. And people, here's what really disturbed me. Y2K came. Y2K went. And what do these people do? They just reinvented themselves and start selling other prophecy news or other end time miseries. And I've got the inside scoop. These people are in it for one reason, to get into your wallet. Like I say, this is going to be for many a two-part program over 2 days. And in a few cases, it'll be one program on radio in a couple of places. And so what I'm trying to do right now is set this up so you understand why this is so important to understand. There are a lot of fakes, phonies, and frauds out there. And I cannot understand their motivation. Some of them, I think, they know they're frauds and they don't care. or some of them are woefully deceived and believing a lie unto their own damnation. Anybody that put out a Y2K book telling you that judgment was coming in the year 2000, and then in 2000 or 2001, they reinvent themselves, don't ever pay them a dime, don't listen, don't pay attention. They're fakes, they're phonies, they're frauds, they're theologically ignorant. Back in Bible times, false prophets were stoned to death. Today, we just allow them to reinvent themselves and change the name of their ministry. I started this program as Truth to Ponder, the daily program. Before that, I had one called Your Weekend Show. And when we decided to go to 5 days a week, we started this program because of all the nonsense and all the misinformation that occurred during the early days of the pandemic. But over the years, we've delved a little bit into Bible prophecy, and I like to just take it at face value. I don't try to read in between the lines and guess that, well, this must be it. I mean, look, there are people that I know meant well in a lot of their predictions. In the 1800s, you had many trying to predict the end date of the world. You know, so we've gone, but this has been going on since the day that Jesus left. For 2,000 years, there have been date setters, and there have been some very disappointed people. And sadly, there's some denominations that were founded upon this false premise of predicting the day that Jesus would come. You have to stop trying to set dates. But there's nothing wrong with being observant about the times or the seasons. And once again, when you start getting into this stuff about end times, you have some very strange and very strong differences of opinion about the end time mechanics. There are those of you that I know listen to this program that are completely sold on the idea of the rapture of the church, when all the believers are removed and the tribulation and the 7-year period of anguish, we don't have to deal with it. You know, it's a get out of tribulation free card as God judges the sins of humanity. And then is ushered in the millennial kingdom where Christ reigns as king. And this all begins right after the tribulation, and on it goes. The secret departure, the secret, I mean, it is something that comes very late in the Christian historical experience. In fact, it was never taught until somebody really started piecing this together, a few people, in the 1830s. In the 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, the year 1000, the year 100, none of this was ever understood, preached, or taught. And it really, there's nothing in the Bible that says you must believe in the rapture to be saved. Show me the verse. It's not there. But a lot of people are pinning their hopes on this idea that I don't have to worry about terrible times to come. I got to get out of the tribulation free card, Bob. Don't you understand? There are going to be times, and those that have listened to me on a regular basis understand this. Over the past 20 centuries, there have been times of intense tribulation on the earth. Many would think it is the Great Tribulation, as they lost everything. People dying for their faith. People being martyred for the cause of Christ. On it goes. We may be coming into a time of intense tribulation. We might even be coming into the Great Tribulation. But guess what? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing that Jesus says when somebody says, here's the Christ, there's the Christ, run over here to the mountain, come out here. Don't listen, don't pay him any mind. If you are so busy trying to understand end times to have the inside track to when he's coming, then you're doing nothing important for the cause of Christ. There are plenty of signs of a coming tribulation. And whether the coming tribulation we're about to enter is the great tribulation of the Bible or just another one leading up to it, I dare not say. But the one thing that these prophecies should encourage us as we see the day coming and a time of tribulation coming, what are you doing for the cause of Christ besides trying to figure it out? How many people are you leading to that altar of salvation? How many people are now in the kingdom? And if some hard time should come in the next 6 months, the next 6 weeks, the next 6 days, are you ready to deal with it, even if it isn't the great tribulation and there's no rapture or any escape? The great plague hit many centuries ago, and over a third of the population died. You would have thought that was a great tribulation. People living in Eastern Europe, as the tanks rolled in from Germany, would have thought, this is it. People in all parts of the world that have seen horrific things happen, natural, unnatural, this is it. No man knows the day or the hour. They have no idea. Not even Jesus Christ himself can figure this one out. He tells us so. So don't think you're any smarter than he is. These prophecies, if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, they encourage us to understand what is to come, and it should encourage us to be prepared. When Jesus returns, will he find you busy in the fields, white for harvest? Or did you spend all of your time debating the day he's coming? And then arguing that I don't have to worry about nothing because I got to get out of tribulation free card. You may not. You may find out that other theologians and others' eschatology may be correct. And you may then understand that many, who are those with the white robes? Oh, they went through the great tribulation. I thought they got raptured. There's a lot we need to understand. And I will go through that a little bit more in the next segment or, depending upon where you are, in the next edition of this program.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As many of you know, because of my situation with health and travel at church and other responsibilities, doing a one-hour program solo by myself, trying to get all the news and everything together. Of course, I've had guests and help along the way. But those days that I produced a full program were taking a lot of time. And it was beginning to become a problem. And I thought about even suspending the program entirely, but so many of you said, don't do that. So we opted for a while to go for 30 minutes for a half hour. I thought that would be what the program would be going forward. But once again, I want to take you back a little over a week ago. I was in Florida, and I had the opportunity of having two different meetings, one on a project that God had laid on my heart a long time ago, to put a video series together on certain teachings that don't get taught well, and there's some misunderstanding. And these would be just video segments, short, maybe 10, 15 minutes tops each, to go through some of the misunderstandings many people have in the faith. Well, that meeting opened the door to meet with somebody that I used to work with. And what God has done in this individual's ministry is just phenomenal. And I was talking about the shortwave airtime and the fact that I kind of missed doing the one-hour program. I said, if I had somebody that could really do the news, I could do the analysis. Well, their specialty is doing the news. He said, what if I get the segments to you about the news and then you can do the other part? So, God willing, Monday, Truth to Ponder goes back to 1 hour. And boy, what an hour it is going to be. We're going to have more content, more breaking stories, more investigative journalism than we ever thought we could do. Only God could open that door. and make it possible to do all the other ministry things He's laid upon my heart. Keep me in prayer. We're in the midst now of 6 weeks of immunotherapy, started today, and it's not easy, but your prayers get me through. We need your financial support. You can go to our website, truth2ponder.com. You can support us there using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Thank you in advance for your support.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.